Persistence, I think, is the appropriate response there. There is no magical solution in any of these situations. Consulates have been scheduling and then canceling appointments really since the summer, before the summer, and that persists. In many cases, consulates are scheduling appointments or making appointments available in, say, August of 2021, forcing me to capture that appointment and then utilize their internal systems at that post for asking for an emergency appointment. So far, we've had mixed success with consulates canceling appointments after they've been scheduled and honoring those appointments. It really just depends on the post. The whole reopening process is really dependent on, well, two things: what's happening inside the consulate and what's happening outside the consulate in terms of what are the prevailing conditions in that country, and then what are the staffing resources available at any individual post as in terms of its willingness to entertain an appointment. That also does relate to whether an individual is likely to qualify for an exception under the various proclamations that may affect an individual application. To that end, it's not necessarily to convince the consulate of your eligibility, but it is important to be able to demonstrate the that a person is likely to qualify for that national interest exception, if that's required, at the time of the interview. The consular officer doesn't actually make that determination of eligibility for a national interest exception until the actual interview. That's where that takes place.
And isn't it true that, you know, it's interesting, we were talking about the overlay of these different proclamations, and you had started out in your, you know, explanation, and we're dealing with several different layers, like an onion here, I guess, or something else, where I'm thinking about, am I subject to a geographic proclamation because I'm in a certain country for 14 days before I plan to enter the United States? Am I subject to a proclamation because of the particular visa category tied to these labor market provisions for the non-immigrants, the 10052, or the immigrants, 10014? And then there are some exceptions that you don't normally just think through. Like, I was reminded just recently by a German visa applicant, oh, but wait, you know, I have a U.S. citizen baby now. And so am I still subject on this L visa to Proclamation 10052? And I had to sit back and go, wait a minute. Yeah, you're not. And so I think it's these charts. Go ahead, please.
Assuming the baby's not married.
Well, that would, well, okay. So maybe arranged marriages are at a very young age now. So I'm hoping not. But yes, agreed. You have to meet that definition of being unmarried. But then you're also thinking about where you are, what's the category, can I get an appointment, can I qualify for some of these exceptions where it doesn't make any difference. But then even if I get through and I'm qualified, and let's say that I'm a visitor in ESTA, for example, I'm just going to come over because I need to install some machinery, the typical provision that I'm allowed to do based on the purchase from the foreign entity, and I'm installing it in the United States pursuant to that purchase order agreement. So what if I happen to be in France? Am I having to worry about a national interest exception? And didn't they transition that whole process from the State Department to CBP? What's going on there with how I get my national interest exception? Because my body parts are parked in France right now, and I need to enter the United States. I'm subject to this March, you know, the March suspension thing, but I don't need to worry about that because it's ESTA. What do I do in order to get into the United States? Is it just connecting with CBP, or is it now a DOS thing that I have to deal with?
Yeah, you've asked about 18 or 25 different questions there.
Can you just focus on the CBP DOS alternative for an NIE, for an ESTA traveler? How's that?
So if an individual is going to currently has a valid ESTA authorization, they're planning on traveling under the visa waiver program as a visitor to the United States. In that situation, they may be able to get authorization to enter the United States by contacting CBP at one of the ports of entry. You can contact CBP, you can find their contact information either through the CBP website for the various ports, or you can also look at the resources available if an individual happens to be a member of the American Immigration Lawyers Association. That organization has a very detailed spreadsheet of the contact information and also ports practices as far as their willingness to provide that national interest authorization. To be clear, the State Department originally contemplated that its consulates would be the first place to stop to make those requests for a national interest clearance. CBP has gotten involved and have very actively been involved in that process. To date, some ports, Chicago, for example, have indicated that it really is appropriate and you really need to first get your authorization from the consulate. And if the consulate's not responsive, then go there. But again, each CBP port of entry seems to have its own set of local parameters in terms of what it's willing to do. And if you are going to go to CBP to get a clearance, it's really important to contact that port and make sure you understand what their rules are in order to seek that authorization. Because the alternative is, in fact, to contact the post, the consular post abroad, where that has jurisdiction over your place of residence, or if you already have a visa that issued the visa, and ask for that authorization. Posts, in some cases, are saying that it will take anywhere from 10 to 60 days to make those kind of determinations. In fact, we're seeing those determinations made sometimes in 24 hours. It really depends on the post. There's a tremendous amount of variety out there.